Lesson today is found in the first book of Samuel, the 28th chapter, which was read to you this afternoon. I hope to continue with the other teachers from this particular point, forgetting the other lessons that we had. We find that the Philistines gathered their armies together to make war against the Israelites. And we find likewise that David, this king of Israel, who was to be king, he had fled into the land of the Philistines. We read in the chapter before this that David said in his heart, "I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul, for it is better for me that I go into the land of the Philistines than that I remain here." David, we can't understand in this chapter. Last week we spake to you about David, how that he went forth in faith and how that he conquered this giant. He had said to Saul, "The God who had delivered me out of the hand of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he likewise will deliver me out of the hand of this giant, and will deliver him into my hand, and will also give me to take his head from off him." And God had given unto him a wonderful victory with the Israelites over the Philistines. But now, David, we find him in this chapter in unbelief. It's a mercy that the Word of God does not keep back the faults and also the sins of the saints of old. We have here then David, scared of Saul, afraid that someday Saul would take him and slay him. Where was David's faith? How come he didn't rely upon that God that delivered him out of the hand of the lion and the paw of the bear and out of the hand of a Goliath, the giant? Where was his faith? Fear had taken hold of him. He had had so much experiences with Saul, and every time Saul would meet with him and he would save his life, and then Saul would again take up his army and pursue after David. And now David, in this fit of unbelief, he leaves his native country Israel and returns back to the land of the Philistines. He enters into the enemy's land. This king, Achish, he received him very kindly, and he had great confidence in David. But David dissembled very seriously in this particular country, for we read that he went forth to fight against the Jeremites and against the Geshurites and also against the Amalekites. And he destroyed them. He left not one alive. He took everything that they had and he brought it back to that particular city that this king had given to him. He had given him a city called Ziklag to dwell in. And when this king asked him where he had been, why, he lied to him. He didn't tell him the truth. He said that he had been to the south of Judah and that he had been against the Jeremites and against the Kenites. Now, these were the people of Israel. He gave the impression unto this king that he had fought against his own people. He had not. He lied. He dissembled. He had slain every one of those people so that they wouldn't say unto this king what had taken place, for fear that they wouldn't come back to him and report it. In this, my hearers, we have a sad story of David. But thanks be to God, he let it be written in his precious word. Now there lies likewise a lesson in this, and that is this. Did David fear that Saul would slay him and take his life? There are many children of God who likewise, surrounded by enemies outwardly and inwardly, and fighting the good fight of faith against the world, against sin, against Satan, and against their own evil heart, they come into fits of unbelief. Oh, they become so weary and they become so discouraged. The enemies are so strong and they have no power against them. And inwardly there's so many voices saying to them, "What? You think you're going to prevail? You think you're going to be saved? You think God is going to have mercy on you?" and they listen to these questions hurled at their hearts, and they begin to fear that they'll never be able to prevail against these enemies. Their eyes are taken off God, they haven't any faith in exercise, and they say inside, well, surely someday I'm going to perish too. With all my religion, with all my prayers, with all my seeking, I fear I'm going to be lost anyway. Are there some children of God amongst me that have those thoughts? Oh, do you not fear sometimes that you're going to run back into the enemy's land? Do you not fear you're going to do like David? That's what David did. He didn't have any faith in exercise. And all when unbelief rises up in us, when there's fightings within and fears without, oh, who would say what we would do? And now David in this land of the Philistines, of course he's saved from the hand of Saul. Saul didn't dare follow him into that. Wonderful thing it is, my hearers, when we are brought to the end of our own works, and then God in his mercy comes to us and speaks unto us. Oh, that word that he brings is a life-giving word. Oh, it changes a person so completely. Oh, this life that God instills by his spirit and by his word in the sinner's heart turns that sinner back to God. Oh, that sinner begins to long for God. He cries out with David, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I thirst for God, for the living God. You know anything about that, my hearers? Has that ever taken place in your life? Have you ever been thirsty and hungry after God? Can't live without God? Will you want this God to be your God? Oh, my hearers, what a blessing it is when this takes place. Oh, what a change outwardly and inwardly. Oh, a person that's dead, that's lifeless, in sin, has nothing on the truth. They like a historical explanation of it, but they have nothing for their immortal soul. But when this takes place, my hearers, a person gets new ears, gets new eyes, or he gets an altogether different taste, and all he has... a different class I would have. And my hearers, when this takes place, they have such a longing to come up to the house of God. Oh, the house of God is such a wonderful place. There they hear of God. There they meet with God. There God communes with them. God speaks to them, and then through the medium of his precious word, oh, their hearts are set on fire. Oh, it's such a blessed and such a joyful experience when God begins this good work of grace in a person's soul. Oh, this is the beginning of eternal life. Such a person says with David, that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. They truly wish that every day was Sunday. Every day they could come up to God's house. Every day they could hear the truth. Oh, they just want to live for God. You want to do that? Have I anybody that has that in their hearts? Oh, what a blessing is this has taken place, my hearers. This is the beginning of eternal life. This life God will keep alive. No matter how far it may seem to be gone, still he revives it. He refreshes it. He again brings it forth. Oh, what a blessing. Are you one of those? Oh, favored soul, favored from heaven. Not for anything of yourself, but because God looks down from heaven in love and pity and in compassion upon you. And this man, Samuel, he had this life, my hearers. All his life long he revealed it. Oh, this man, Samuel, he is an example set before us in Scripture to follow him and walk in his footsteps. And now these people, they miss this man, this prophet. Oh, when good men die, it is surely to be mourned. Oh, their loss is lamentable. And the Israelites, they mourned and they wailed because they had missed this good prophet. The Philistines came up to make war against the Israelites. And Saul, he had put of those out of the land that had familiar spirits and those that were wizards. God had commanded in the beginning of his word that they should not suffer a witch to live. Any person that had a familiar spirit or that was a wizard and taught fortunes and told things that would come to pass in the future, they were not to live. God commanded that they should be put to death. And now Saul, he fulfilled this commandment. He went ahead and put them out of the land, and he slew any number of them. And now the Philistines came up against the Israelites. And when Saul seen this great army, his heart trembled and he was filled with fear. And now this man, Saul, he resorted to dreams. He resorted to the Urim and the Thummim, and he resorted to the prophets, but he got no answer. You know, God had spoken many times by dreams to his saints of old. Jacob had a dream when he was fleeing from Esau and from his father's house. We find Joseph, he had many dreams. The butler and the baker, they had dreams. Even ungodly kings had dreams, and God sent them men to interpret the dreams and tell them what was going to come upon their kingdoms. And now when Saul sought for a dream and an answer what to do against the Philistines, he got no answer. And then he went to the Thummim and the Urim. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but that's the way I read it. I wish somebody would instruct me a little in the English language. I didn't have too much education. But I went to search this out and find out what that meant. And that meant that the high priest, he had a breastplate. And on this breastplate, he had all the names of the tribes of Israel written on it. And each tribe had a stone on this breastplate. And now when anybody in the Israelitish political world wanted to know and have an answer for what was going to take place, they would come to the high priest. And they would present this matter to the high priest. And this high priest, he would repeat what they wanted to know before God. And as he kept repeating this before God, then a light would shine from the Shekinah, that was the glory of God that was in the tabernacle and in the temple. This would shine down upon the breastplate. And upon which stones did it shine the most, and which letters stood out mostly, that is the way that this high priest gave an answer to them that were inquiring by God for something that they wanted to know. Sometimes he was inspired by the Spirit of God to give an answer. Josephus gives this interpretation of these two particular oracles that were only used by kings. They were the only ones that were to use these things and ask what would become of their kingdom and of their people. And now when Saul went to these things, he got no answer. He likewise went to the prophets that were accustomed to foretell the future and tell what would happen to the country. They had no word for him. They had no answer for him. They could not speak any word of comfort to this man, Saul. God did not answer him. God had rejected him. God had went away from him. Why? Because he had not obeyed God. He had not committed his fierce wrath upon the Amalekites. He had not slain them. He had not done what God had commanded him. And God therefore rejected him. Do we read that Saul humbled himself, that he was filled with repentance, that he was sorry for his sins? How many sins had this man committed? He had tried to kill his own son, Jonathan. He had been seeking the life of David, the man after God's own heart, whom God loved. He had slain all the priests. So this man was a wicked man, Saul. And God had rejected him now, and God did not answer him. He got no answer. Maybe there's a soul here that says, I think I'm just like Saul. Oh, in the beginning I did have an answer. Oh, I surely thought that God was with me, but I fell into some sin. And after that, the heavens are like brass. I don't get any answer either. I pray and I cry and I shout, but no answer comes. I think I'm just like this man Saul. I think God has rejected me. You think that? Is there a Saul there like that amongst my hearers? There may be, I don't know. What is written in God's word is written for our comfort, so that we through patience may receive the promises. Now, this is a complaint of old, my hearers. All you read Jeremiah, he says, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He says, likewise, he says, thou hast hid thyself as by a cloud, that our prayer goeth not through. Jeremiah, he cries out in one of his chapters, the Lord's hand is not shrunken, and his ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. All my hearers, this is the complaint of the saints of old, and all if I have a saint amongst me that's complaining and thinking that she or he is like Saul, oh, I would direct you to the words of the good shepherd. He says men ought not to faint, but always to pray. Oh, he says in his precious word, seek ye me and live. Oh, he says, seek and ye shall find. Call upon him while he is yet near. Oh, may you be given the grace and the spirit of supplication to persevere, to knock at mercy's door, regardless if you don't get an answer. Where else can you go? To whom else can you flee? Saul didn't do this. Saul didn't do as I'm describing to you to do. No, Saul was a man that was a wicked man. There was no humbleness. There was no penitence in him. He wanted an answer of God just to help himself out. And God gave him no answer. And now where he was in such trouble and such distress, he decided that he would go to a fortune teller. He asked his men where that they knew a woman was that had a familiar spirit so that he could resort to her. He had cast them all out of the land. He had had them slain. He had obeyed the commandment of God. But now he would run to one. He would want to know what that person would be able to help him out with. This teaches us too, likewise. You know, when we're not tempted with any sins, you know, we can condemn them sins in other people, but we never know what sin we're going to fall into. And that's what this Saul did. Oh, he obeyed the commandment of God, but now we find him running right back to do that sin that he had punished so greatly in his own land. And now the servants, they said, well, there is a woman with a familiar spirit. She's down in the town called Endor. So we find Saul. He disguises himself. He puts on other apparel, and he goes with two servants down to this witch, a king, a man that had been anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel, a man upon whom the Spirit of God had come so often. We find him resorting to a witch. And likewise, we see him disguising himself. What did he do that for? Well, he thought maybe when he got to this witch, she might know. And you know, he had slain so many of them. And he figured, if I came there in my kingly apparel, well, then she sure wouldn't help me. She declined to serve him. So he disguised himself. Not only did he disguise himself for this matter, but he disguised himself for his own people too. Because he thought, if my people see me, a king, going down to a witch to find out what's going to happen, they'd sure abhor him. He never looked so mean, this king, as he did now, going to a witch to find out what the trouble was and what would happen to him. And now we find him going down to this woman, and he comes to the door at night. You know, everything that's done in an evil way is works of darkness. They're done at night, a lot of things. This is what this king is doing. And when he came there, he inquired of the woman and asked her that she would bring up him whom he wanted her to bring up. Now, these witches, they had the power, it seems, to evoke the dead. They could call up a dead person, the soul of a dead person, and have this dead person speak to the one that wanted to speak to it. Now, this is what they profess to do. They fool the people most of the time. They had the gift of ventriloquism. They could talk just like if the voice was coming out of the ground somewhere else. And then the people would think that that was the person that they were talking to, and they were only talking to the witch. She was doing it. But now, this king, he went to this woman, and when he came there, she says to him, well, listen, she says, you know what Saul done? He put all these people out of the land, and he slew so many of them, and if I should go ahead and do this for you, why, I take my life in my own hands. Oh, he says, fear not, he says. He says, no punishment will be brought upon you. I swear by God, he says, that nobody will do you any harm. Imagine this king taking the name of God in vain, taking an oath upon his lips, and swearing that this woman wouldn't be punished for what she was going to do. Why, how did he know? He might be punished and she might be punished, both of them, for what they were doing. For this was a great sin. For those that taught these things, witchcraft, and told fortunes and were wizards, they were an abomination in the sight of God. And any person that resorted to them, they likewise were an abomination unto God. And now this woman, when she was told by Saul that she wouldn't be punished, she consented then to bring up him whom he wanted to bring up. And she says to him, who do you want me to bring up? He says, bring up Samuel. Now, I guess most of you, my hearers, are familiar with this chapter. You've heard it read just this afternoon, haven't you? Now, this is a very difficult chapter to understand. For now, who would you make out was doing the talking to Saul? The Bible distinctly says it was Samuel, right? Samuel is speaking unto Saul. Now, of old, and I searched into this matter a little bit because you have to when you're going to teach a class. Of old, the commentaries, they mostly say that Satan transformed himself and impersonated himself as Samuel, and he did the speaking unto Saul. Now, whether this is true or not, my hearers, I don't go along with it. Now, I don't care which side you take. You can take what side you want. Another commentary, Scott by name, and he says that he believed that God performed a wonder. He says, God let the soul of Samuel come up again. He says, God was glorified in this because Samuel had spoken unto Saul while he lived, and Saul had not listened to Samuel. And now God, to prove that he spoke the truth and that the mouth of the prophets was the truth, he brought up Samuel to speak unto Saul and tell him his doom. Tell him that he was going to die. Tell him the consequences of his sins. You read it, I think you'll follow this more quickly than you would to think that this man that's doing the talking was Satan. Now, another one comes along with this story. I don't like to confuse you, but it is very confusing when you read this chapter. Just read it for yourself, and you'll wonder who it is. Others say that these servants who went along with Saul were afraid that they would go to war. They seen the army of the Philistines, and they trembled too with Saul. And they went up to this witch, and they gave her some money, and they bought her off. And she hoaxed the whole deal by being paid off by these servants so that they wouldn't have to go to battle with the Philistines. Now, there's three interpretations of this chapter. Kind of difficult, isn't it? For myself, I thought Scott was about the closest which I could go along with. It wouldn't be to the dishonor of God to raise up Samuel again and to speak unto Saul and to tell him what he had said to him before. And this is what Saul came to find out, whether he would prevail over the Philistines. He came to him for counsel, and he came for him for comfort, and he got neither. He didn't get any counsel, and he didn't get any comfort. For this woman, she brought up Samuel. And when she seen Samuel coming up, she cried out with a loud voice, it says. She trembled. She had never had anything like that before. It was a miracle. And now when He asked her who she saw. She says, I see the gods coming up out of the earth, she says. And in what form is he? Saul says, it's an old man. He's got a mantle on him. And when Samuel heard this, he seen and perceived that it was Samuel. And therefore, he fell down on the face of the ground and bowed before him. And Samuel, he says unto Saul, why hast thou disquieted me?